It was hard to believe, but it's 31 years ago that I was here among you as a student pastor. I'm a grandfather now. I wasn't even a father back then. And so it gives you an idea how things have changed. It was the fall of 1988. I was at McMaster Divinity College, and they had a student every year in different churches. And my first year, I had been at James Street and Wayne Sobel. And my second year, I was here. And I had chosen to come here because Mary Ellen's dad, Nelson Thompson, had been a student in the Bachelor of Theology, the BTH, with Tom Morikawa. And he said, if you get a chance to study under Tom Morikawa, do it. And so I came here to serve under Tom Morikawa at the time. I was involved in the Gym Night program at that time, which was one of the ways in which we were reaching the children in the community and seeking to make a difference. The landscape was very different back then in Hamilton. James Street had just moved next door to St. Paul's Presbyterian because they were undertaking a major renovation of their building. There was Westmount Baptist Church and Mount Calvary Baptist Church and Trinity Baptist Church and Bethel Baptist Church and Mount Hamilton Baptist Church. At the time, Rick Maxwell was the pastor there. The Church on the Rock was a youth program that six churches had gathered together to share resources. I think Ancaster Baptist Church at the time was part of that as well. And they were meeting all the youth groups together. They had hired this guy, David Overholt. If you would remember that name, it's still there. He was there from the very beginning as a youth group. And the new kid on the block was Heritage Green Baptist Church. They were in their early beginnings. And they were doing weird stuff, like singing some of these songs up here. I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. In fact, at the time, later on, I ended up doing a Doctor of Ministry at McMaster, and I used to pastor at Mountsburg and Westover. Then I went to Hagersville, and on my evenings, I would go to Heritage Green because they had this funky contemporary service, and I got to learn about contemporary worship there as I played guitar. The landscape has changed a lot in 30 years. And those seasons of change continue. And now when I'm talking about seasons, I'm drawing that word from a wealth of agricultural parables and metaphors that we find in Scripture that describe the church and its work and the gospel and its people using these types of metaphors. However, I must confess that when it comes to talking about seasons in the life of the church, we prefer to talk about the harvest season, as though all churches live in this perpetual state of harvest. And yet in reality, the Scriptures remind us over and over again that there are also other seasons, including tilling the soil, planting, watering, pruning, and harvesting. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, that Paul, he planted, and Apollos watered, and God brought about the growth. And we believe that with our heads. But for some reason, we all want to be part of the harvest. And yet, if you entered into ministry in the last 30 years, you'll have known that we have been ministering not in a season of harvest. The churches have declined Over the course of my 30 years of ministry, I have seen the church's decline. Maybe not an individual church. We have a few churches that are kind of are against the flow for a little season, but globally, North America, Canada, as we moved into postmodern and then post-Christian culture, the church declined. And yet we continue to deceive ourselves into thinking that we were in the season of harvest. And if we could just rejig the numbers anymore, change our three-month baptismal class to a half hour on Saturday morning, we could maybe get the numbers up. Because after all, 3 months is a long time to prepare for something that'll transform you for the rest of your life. And we started to try to find ways to make the numbers work because we wanted the churches to be perceived as growing. The prophet Jeremiah also reminds us there are other types of seasons. There are seasons of bounty. And there are seasons of drought. And Jeremiah is speaking to people who are about to encounter and are living through a season of drought. And today I want to talk about the effect of a drought on the church. When everything that's visible above ground is wilting and withering and seems to be dying. This morning I want to focus on that which still remains when the drought attacks the plant. When all you have left is the stump of Jesse and nothing else, or so it would seem. That same stump that brought Christ. I want to invite us to look below the surface of a tree to its roots. And I want us to focus on two types of roots in particular. Now, I'm not a botanist or a gardener, but this is what I've learned. Basically, you have two types of roots. Woody roots and non-woody roots. Does that work? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Got two types of people. You got men and you've got non-men. You've got two types of churches. You've got this church and then you have not this church. You have woody roots and you have non-woody roots. Now the woody roots are often called anchor roots. They're the stuff of anniversaries. The stuff that we turn to and we celebrate on days like today. The roots that bring about the albums and the posters that we have on the wall today. They're the things that kept us grounded through the years amidst the storms of life and amidst ministry during societal upheaval. These woody roots include our history, our stories of origin, our creeds, our declarations of faith, our covenants, our building, our lineage of pastors and leaders and mentors that shaped our lives and our churches and our memories and our symbols, our banners. I recognize some of these banners from when I was a student here. And you can't help but be awestruck when you look at these windows. These are anchors, anchor roots that kept us strong and stable and founded. Kept us firmly rooted in Christ as our anchor and our rock and our foundation. And yet, Jeremiah doesn't talk about the woody roots. Jeremiah talks to us about the non-woody roots. Another part of the root system the feeder roots, they're often called. They're the ones that sit close to the surface. Because they're not hardened, they're flexible and nimble and can travel around and about. They exist not to provide a firm foundation or stability in hard times, but rather to seek out water and nourishment below ground. They are roots that serve the church and its believers on a daily basis, bringing nourishment and water and minerals. They're also the tree's last line of defense. Without them, a tree will wither. First, it'll lose its fruit. Then it'll lose its leaves and its branches, and eventually even its trunk. In times of drought, as the soil dries out, even the anchor roots can give way and fell a tree. The feeder roots become essential. For as hardship and drought overwhelms a tree, the feeder roots will stretch out and find water extending sometimes 4 to 7 times the extent of the canopy of the tree. They will hunt down fresh sources of water. If it can find a source of water, then even a dried and barren tree can grow again, sprouting buds, then leaves, and eventually bearing fruit once again. And then as it grows, new anchor roots establish themselves to give additional strength to the growing tree above the surface, so that as it encounters its new storms, new anchor roots are there to support it, because the feeder roots were there. This is true of trees, it's true of the church. And for us as believers, it's in the hard, dry seasons of life when we feel withered and scorched by our surroundings that the fruit or leaves or even the anchors can be restored. But it's the feeder roots that are required. Jeremiah, we didn't read the passage, have we yet? So let me read you the passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah is talking to us about a season of drought. In Jeremiah chapter 17, if you have it, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version 2011. So it's verse 17, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like trees planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and fear never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Jeremiah is basically making a comparison here. Those who are like a bush in the desert with no roots, that are dependent on their strength, and this tree, which is rich with feeder roots, able to stretch out beyond its canopy in search of living water. And things go great when those feeder roots are working daily. Jeremiah says, you can have a flowering, blossoming, fruitful tree in the desert, in the midst of a drought, as long as those feeder roots are attached to a source of water. But he also reminds us that for most of us, that's not going to happen. We're going to have moments of struggle as churches and as people. And if we allow those feeder roots to be neglected, the tree will follow. That's what happened in Jeremiah's day. Israel, and now Judah, had waited too long. King Josiah of Judah had tried to turn things around a bit, if you read through the story of Jeremiah, but it was too late. See, they had reached a point now by the time of Jeremiah's writing where Israel had been conquered, Judah was on the verge of falling, along with Jerusalem under the king of Babylon. And the result would be the deportation of God's people of Judah to Babylon, where you get that famous mournful weep, "By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept for thee, Zion." That was what they were going to within 50 years. By this time, Judah was ruled by kings appointed by the Egyptians and then the Babylonians. They no longer governed themselves. And Jeremiah uses the idea of the bush and the tree to encourage Judah. You see, feeder roots are designed to get us through tough times, a drought. When the harvest of the fruit is scarce and the leaves are scorched, even as the anchor roots begin to give way in the dry soil, the feeder roots are what we cling to. And those feeder roots bring us back to God, to living water. In this season, when we live in a society, when we live in a world that has become very stormy for us as a church, that has led our trees to wither due to lack of nourishment in the blazing sun, we need to focus on what's important and essential. And while our anchor roots have sustained us, they're not essential in this season. And while the dream and the hope of bearing fruit gives us great cause to rejoice, pulling the fruit off before we've taught them to mature and allowed them to mature, just to say that we got a fruit, is not serving the kingdom of God. And allowing trying to keep the leaves going even when the fruit's not there isn't going to lead to a better future. But the feeder roots will. And the feeder roots are not seen above the ground. The feeder roots are that thing that sustain us in our faith and our relationship with God. When above ground, things don't seem to make any sense. At home, we brought home a tree, an ornamental tree, a little bit like these ones here. It had been in one of Mary Ellen's old offices, and they were getting rid of it. And it was a beautiful tree, three trees with a little canopy on each trunk, about this wide, and it was about this high. It was beautiful. Time went by, it got longer. And this is one of these trees where it always loses its lower canopy, so almost like a palm tree. So you have all these seven or eight little... Well, by the time we decided we need to do something with this tree, it was basically 3 7.5-foot poles with 4 leaves on the top against the ceiling. And like, we've got to toss this thing. This thing is not... only no longer serving its purpose, it's ugly. And so I don't know why, but I decided, okay, I'm going to cut it down to the stump. All three of them. One at this height, one at this height. And I'm going to water it, fertilize the soil, see what happens. And first it was one sprout, and then two, and then three. It's about this high now. It's unrecognizable from my beautiful 3 7.5-foot poles with little stuff on there. You would not think it was the same plant. The only thing that tells you it's the same plant is it's got the same genetic makeup. What brings it into being is that genetic makeup. But apart from that, no way you'd ever recognize it. In the Old Testament, we're told about this stump of Jesse. This unimpressive above the surface. It was a failed monarchy. Jesse was the father of David. And David had this wonderful monarchy, and then it had fallen apart. And by the time of Jeremiah, half of it was gone, Israel, and Judah's within 50 years of falling, and it already was no longer recognizable as God's people. And the Old Testament and the New Testament talks about this stump of Jesse. And what does it tell us about that? Out of this stump of Jesse, out of those roots below this stump, out of that would come something else. The Messiah. Jesus Christ. Out of something that was no longer recognizable because it was fed and nurtured and its genetics were in Christ. Things weren't gone. Things were just beginning. There was a new covenant to come in this, from this stump of Jesse. That's where you are today. The landscape has changed. I told you about Hamilton 30 years ago. 30 years later, James Street building has been torn down. I think it's a condo development in the works now. But the people that were James Street Baptist Church became Faith Works Baptist Church. Trinity Baptist Church closed. Bethel Baptist Church became Little Baptist Bethel Baptist. Claimed a new identity and a new ministry. Westmount Baptist Church and Mount Calvary Baptist Church merged to become Harmony Baptist Church. and address their future in that way. Church on the Rock became a church. Mount Hamilton Baptist Church had a fire, moved out, fixed the building, went back into the building, then bought another building, then sold the first building, and now are established in an old Anglican building with a completely different ministry. Eucharist Church is the new kid on the block. We would never think of Heritage Green as having that role now. And now Wentworth is on the cusp of transformation. What is visible now, its shoots and its tree and its trunk and even its anchor roots are going to change. And 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we will be celebrating something that looks very different. And I wish I could tell you what that's going to look like. And I know that God hasn't even told you what that's going to look like. The anchor roots, which once provided you stability, and which were the places you would rest to and turn to in moments of where you felt in need of strength. All of those covenants and history and mother figures and father figures in the life of the church that gave you strength and support, those are still meaningful. But you need the feeder roots to survive. And for this season of time, that has to be your priority. Be renewed and restored and transformed as individual believers. It is not your building or your programs that bring glory to God. It is that Christ nourishes you. And Christ is your source of water, of living water. And the vine that will grow from there, you will have the privilege of being part of those branches. And where that's going to be, who knows? But if you're walking in God's will right now, what you're doing is you're on a mission. You're out searching for every drop of living water you can find in this community. You're stretching your roots beyond this building, 4 to 7 times beyond its canopy, and you're looking for fresh expressions of Christ in your neighborhoods and in your families and among your friends. And when you find it, you just suck it all up. And then you share it. And eventually, something will sprout out that other people can see. It's an exciting time to be alive. The burden of trying to hold up this building and this vision that was given to you, that burden is set aside now. You can begin fresh. There is no shame in starting at the stem or at the stump once again. No shame at all. You're not the first to have to do it. They were doing it 30 years ago. They were doing it 100 years ago. They will be doing it 10 years from now. You are just going to be part of that landscape that God is working through the various seasons. And right now, your season is to ride the drought, feed the feeder roots, so that when the sun comes up, and the rain starts to fall, you're ready. We may not be harvesting as much as in past generations, but we're sure getting good at working the soil and at finding fresh sources of God's living presence in our midst and in our communities and in places beyond the places we would traditionally look in times of old. So like I said before, it's an exciting time to be alive. It's not wishful thinking, it's biblical thinking. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather together on the cusp of transformation. We have big decisions and we grieve what was. But you remind us it's not because what was is dying. It's because you are working below the surface. Help us to claim the mission that's been given to us to tend to the feeder roots, that you might lead us into the future with a new vision of what we can be. Give strength to the leadership. Remind us all, O God, that it begins with our relationship with you and the daily sustaining influence of Jesus Christ in our lives by His Holy Spirit. Amen.